Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Oh, I bet she ordered from Hazleton's.
Oh my God, you know what?
That's what they tell me.
Is this like if Mary Poppins shot Trump? Or
that's something to lighten the mood, isn't it?
There we go.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are live on Zoom and we are joined by the fantastic comedian and podcaster. It is Abigailiah Shamar.
Yay!
Welcome!
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me on.
Yay! Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I am good. I love performing from the comfort of my own home. So I am totally into this.
We're ticking the comfort box.
Things are good. Life is good. It was sunny out. I've noticed since the days are longer, I am now happier. Yeah. It's almost like I've had seasonal depression, and that's what it had been all along.
I know. It's amazing that I always think, no, I can't be that basic. Nope, nope. It's making a huge difference.
Every year. Yeah. I don't do anything about it either, because I know you can get those special lights in, but do I do that? No, I just suffer.
I just don't like lying to myself with those lights, though. I'm a little bit like, it's a lie. I know it's a lie. It's like I can't be hypnotized. Yeah. And I think it's a similar thing.
I bought a new desk lamp, and it's supposed to help with SADS. And I'll tell you, I bought it in the winter. Didn't feel good until just recently. So it's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. All right. I will continue to attempt to OD on vitamin D. But in the meantime, we have a podcast to do here. Welcome, hello to all the people in the chat, people listening at home. If you want to. Oh, yay. Right. Okay. So hurry. Hang on. It's a true crime podcast with a twist.
Of lime!
Everyone in the chat has been shouting of lime. So if you would like to join a live Zoom and and message us offline. join our Patreon. But now we have one question. Abigail, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Have I? Oh, boy. as we were discussing before we started, I spent 10 years in New York, lived in Harlem the whole time, famous for being a rough area. Didn't get robbed once until I moved to the U of K, and I
robbed three times.
Welcome. Oh, so, welcome. Yeah.
And then a bit of, I think, fraud, a bit of shopping fraud. What is it called?
Ooh.
Yeah. So I don't know, which stories do you want? Do you want them all?
Oh, I love when we get a choice.
Yeah. I mean, tell us the juiciest one.
Yeah, yeah. Start with the juice.
The juice. I'll tell you, like, I told Amanda about getting robbed in the UK, and we can touch on those because it's a trilogy. But so...
yeah, give us all
the best robberies.
Yeah, crime's going to have juice in it. Like, what am I, a sadist? Do you tell us what you want to tell us?
I will say, for my sister's 40th birthday, I wanted to treat her real special and get her nice big roses and a bottle of champagne. And those people in America will know that depending on where you live in the UK, you cannot order alcohol online and have it delivered to your house. But I found this website that would do it. And I forgot to look for any reviews before I signed up. And so on, like a couple days before her birthday, and I figured they're sending roses, right? So what are they going to do? They're going to put it in some sort of refrigerated box or with the gel things around it, something. Just a box shows up. She lives in Louisville, Kentucky. It is 95 degrees July, whatever that is in Celsius. It's like 25 degrees Celsius, maybe 23. I don't know. It's very, very hot and humid. She gets a box and she opens it up, and her first present for her 40th birthday is wilted roses and boiling hot champagne in a deflated balloon. And she shows this to me, and I'm livid. And so I get online and write to the manager, like the white woman I am. And they tell me they cannot refund me for the champagne because there's nothing wrong with it. But if champagne gets hot, it's ruined.
Wow.
And they're finally like, they refund me half of it, half the money, and I'm still like totally pissed. And what was worse, so after that, I like, and Annie, God bless, my sister was like, it's fine, things happen, don't worry about it. So I called my mom and I was like, Mom, we gotta figure this out. We gotta get Annie some roses. And my mom's was like, well, call Oberson's from New Albany, Indiana. In a day, they got me 40 pink roses delivered to her house. Aww. My mom went out and got her a bottle of Bollinger. And like, aww. So I bought her two birthday gifts. I paid for two, wow. Which I would only do for a 40th. Like, if it was her 41st, I'd be like, well, fuck it, I tried. But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was then, after all this, I used my American credit card, right? And I saw this weird charge on my credit card because I kept checking it to make sure that they gave me a partial refund. And I was like, what is this? And I looked it up, and someone had bought for like 400 quid a gun sight. Like, you know, so when you fire a gun, I'm explaining this to the Brits. When you fire a gun, there's a little like periscope on it for you to look through. And it's like, and I was like, that's fucking weird. And, you know, I told my bank and everything.
Yikes.
And I just mentioned it to my family. Like, this is weird. And I didn't put the two together.
Yeah.
And my older sister said, oh my God, I just got a UPS notification that I was going to have something delivered. So they stole my information and her address and tried to buy gun stuff with it.
Oh, shit.
And so my sister called her bank and the police, and then she was advised to call the FBI because it's across state lines, so it's a federal offense.
Oh, my God.
But apparently what they do is they'll, like, use your card for bank fraud, send it to the address that you have listed. And then while it's being sent, they'll reroute the package to the correct place.
Okay.
Oh. So we caught it all before I think it got to that. Like, it was still listed as her address, but it was like super fucking scary.
Yeah.
It, because also, like, we're not a gun family. Like, it was just, like, kind of scary to be like, what are you doing with my card and my sister's address?
Yeah, that's super creepy.
And that's a bit of a sinister thing to turn up on your, like, 40th birthday. The second present you get is, like, a gun sight. It's kind of a little bit.
It's a shame that if guns get overheated, they don't stop working like champagne. That would solve a lot of problems.
I know, right?
Oh, that's so creepy. It's a good thing that you caught it in time, though.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing that I, like, was checking constantly for that refund because they were so shady online. Hazleton's Gifts, by the way, never use them. Let's shout that out. Hazleton's Gifts, do not trust. Do not trust. And, if I hadn't been checking constantly, I would have totally missed it because I only use my American accounts when I'm in the States. Or if I have to buy something over there, like something for my family.
Yeah.
And I never look at that account. Like, creeped me the fuck out.
Matt, so did they ever, like, catch the people that were doing this?
I don't know. I should, like, my sister was the one who filed a report, but probably not.
Mm.
Just because of the nature of...
It's anonymous or whatever.
Yeah. Wow. The crime. But if anyone had been caught, I think I would have heard about it. And the fact that I hadn't makes me think that nothing came of it. But she just filed a report because, she didn't want that purchase also, you know, connected to her house, you know. So
you gave her the best birthday story ever. the all of these things add up to, like, the Guns N' Roses 40th birthday. This is amazing.
I don't know how we never put that together as a pun. It was a Guns N' Roses birthday.
You'll be on the family WhatsApp tonight. Guys,
remember that one
when
time?
Ellie turned 40?
Yeah.
6 years ago? Yeah. I got it.
Oh, no. Let's be honest. Annie turned 40 last year, okay? We're not going to make her older than she is.
Sorry, Annie. Listen, as a woman of the same age, I know how important every year counts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Exactly. So do you think maybe this is how Guns N' Roses decided to name their band? Like, it was a birthday that went wrong.
God, I hope so. They use Hazeltons and it all went up and they were like,
they're like,
you
come
know
on,
what?
Let's be Hazeltons. No, it's not quite edgy enough, Axel, but I really like that.
Oh, do you remember when you first realized that, what is it, Axl Rose is an anagram of oral sex?
No, I realize that right now.
Whoa, well, I can't believe I'm telling someone that for the first time today.
What? No, I didn't know that.
Can someone do the maths? Because I think that's true. Someone might have told me that and gone, God, she believes it. I think it's Axl Rose.
You just accepted it.
I just accepted it immediately.
I mean, to be fair, who's going to do the maths on that? No one.
Exactly. And I just thought, what? I am right. Thank you, Detective Gay.
The chat is in. Oh, everyone's all up in this Guns N' Roses. They've all got their...
There you go. Do you know what? Yeah. Get on your family WhatsApp groups, everyone, and tell.
Yeah. Wow. There we go. Also, I just want to flag this one up. One of my robbery stories. I'll just tell. Well, do you want all three of them? How much time do we have? Do you want all three or do you want one? I can go through them quickly or I can tell you one quickly.
Give us at least one and then we'll decide.
Okay. So the most recent one was I was traveling from Paddington to Cardiff. And ironically, I was talking to a friend a couple days before and I was like, isn't it amazing how on trains you just put your bag at the end? I think we know where this is going of the thing. And I was talking to a friend and he was like, oh, I never do that. I'm super paranoid. And I was like, nothing has 8 years. Nothing's ever happened. I've lived here. And because he said that a couple of times on the train, I would turn back and check that my bag was still there. And it was. And I don't want to be that asshole who puts their wheelie bag on a seat. So I always put it in the thing. And then I got up at Cardiff and it was gone.
No.
And The police were no help, but God bless the people who run the train station in Cardiff. They were so sweet. They had me in their office. They gave me some tea because they were like, sometimes people just take the wrong wheelie bag. And if that's happened, we'll be able to find an exchange.
Yeah.
So they were like trying to get in touch with the train and it wasn't there. It was
stolen.
Those
lovely, innocent Welsh people. Just so lovely.
But it's just like, what was in it was like, my show closed for the weekend because I was performing at the Glee, and all my makeup and like nothing of monetary value to anyone else, but stuff that it's like I needed.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was such, I had to go to, I debated just leaving Cardiff, but then I was like, I might as well stay and do the shows and make the money I lost. And I wound up having to go to Primark and buying myself like underwear and a shirt to wear on stage. I was just, it was, oh God, it was the fucking worst. And it was on December 1st. So right as Christmas started, my bag got stolen. Like,
that really sucks.
Yeah.
I always think they're taking a bit of a risk, people that steal people's bags off a train. Because like, if I'd been coming back from somewhere, then they would have just stolen a bag full of shitty underwear, essentially. Like, they would have just stolen loads of really kind of, like, smelly clothes and, you know.
Yeah, it seems like an odd gamble.
Yeah.
Like, well, I really thought you were going to say, because the odds of me seeing them do it is very high, I didn't see it go into, like, I shit my pants.
They've got my shitty pants.
Yeah, shitty is maybe too strong, but, you know, not clean.
The proverbial shitty pants, yes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's a business in itself. Anyway, before we get down that road too far, we always ask on this podcast too, what would you say to the perpetrators? So we've got a couple of perpetrators. We've got the evil people trying to send guns and nick stuff, and then and giving you shitty champagne that boils. And then we've also got the thief on the train. What would you say if you had them? They could, maybe can't see you, or they can, but you've got the power. You can say or do whatever you want to them.
I guess to the perpetrators on the train, I'd ask, what did you think you'd find? Like, and can I have the belt buckle back that's a snake that my younger sister gave me for my birthday that was like, you know, that she found in a shop in New Mexico that I cannot get back? I'd ask for that back. But that's the thing. It's like, what did you think that was going to be in there? Because it was like the weekend little wheel. It wasn't like a big suitcase. It was like a little weekend. And I'm like, I had all of my electronics and stuff in my purse next to me. What did you think you were going to find? Yeah. What? Like that.
Yeah.
And to the Hazleton people. Oh, God.
Sorry.
I just like, I'm just, and I don't even know what I'd say. I checked my spam the other day because I had an email go in there, and I'm still getting emails, promo emails from them that go straight to my spam, apparently. And so part of me is like, how are you still here? Like, clearly it's still a functioning website and they're still defrauding people. So my question to them would be like, how did you do it? Because I'm actually kind of inspired at this point.
We've never had thank you for being inspiring as the answer to that question. So thank you.
The grit and determination is...
Yeah. Mark in the chat says, I Googled them. They are still in business.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing how companies keep going like that.
It's great. All they have to do is just like have no phone number and then what? They're just scot-free. No one can get them. Like, how is that a thing? We just like, to put up with that now.
They just count on a customer doing it one time, but that's one more purchase.
Yeah.
Before any return business.
Shame on me.
Yeah.
When you think about how paranoid some businesses are about trying to make sure they've got good reviews, and then these people can just like do what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. Hazleton's and Elon Musk. How are they still going?
Like, right? Yeah. That is the question of our time.
Yeah.
For people who like potpourri and hot champagne, it's Hazleton's.
Yeah. Check us out. Yeah, if they rebranded, suddenly not quite. So anyway, all right, look, we could do this all day, but I'm going to move us along to the true crime section of the podcast. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
So ready.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
This case was actually suggested by a lovely listener called Yasmin, who emailed in, and I think that Yasmin is from Canada, because, little spoiler, this case is Canadian.
Ooh. Okay.
She said that there's a book about this case, which sounds amazing. I've not read the book, which she actually wanted me to do if I was going to do this case. So sorry, Yasmin. I haven't read the book.
A whole book, Yasmin. I know that's how things are done in Canada. But here in the podcast world, it's about Wikipedia.
I still might read it, but it will be too late for this.
Oh, how cool.
Don't write checks you can't cash, Katie. You're not going to read it.
All right. You're not. Yeah. It's fine. But no, it sounds amazing. You know, I did other research. I watched some YouTube videos about this because I'm almost a millennial. And that's what we do, right, guys? We watch videos.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah.
I'm we actually watch heart. TikTok, guys.
Yeah.
I've heard of that. So we're going to journey to Toronto in 1915.
Okay.
Now, according to my sources, this is a very conservative, largely middle-class place. So my first question is, what percentage of the population claimed to be of English heritage?
95%.
Oh. Nice, 95%.
Oh, wow. So
did I nail that right away?
No. I'm repeating it. But
damn, we're just super positive about all answers. We're just really positive. Oh, yeah.
This is a really participation badge arena that you're in now.
I'm not going to go any higher, so I'll go 94%.
Oh.
The price is right.
Yeah, there we go.
And I'm going to go 93% for everything else and really fuck Taylor over. Taylor's got no chance now.
You know what? That means Hannah gets it.
Yeah.
But it's not honourable.
No. Do you know what? I'll take it. That's my favourite.
That's so way too high.
The correct answer is 85%.
Holy shit, though.
Yeah. Wow. Which I find shocking because this is all like, oh, it's so like snooty and middle class. But it's like, surely French Canada is way nicer. Like, if it's everyone's English, it's going to be full of football hooligans, like getting drunk and disgracing themselves. I don't understand how that's like bragging rights. But then I read this other thing. So this place gets described as a snobbish and dull place. And I was like, no, that sounds like England.
That's England.
So
that's England.
We're back. It's that's where we are. But it's Canadian. So now the background, we've got the First World War happening. We've got lots of soldiers leaving Canada to go and fight with Britain and France and the gang. And there's an influx of young women coming into Canada from England to work as domestic servants. Now, we're going to be talking about this very rich family called the Massey family. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's M-A-S-S-E-Y.
Yeah, my friend's called Massey. Okay. Her name's Massey, and she's just moved to Canada.
See, this is why we're happy that this didn't take place in the French-Canadian area, because then you'd be screwed. But it's English, so however you say right.
It can't be offensive.
We have a chance here.
So question, how do you think they made their money?
Ooh, do you know what? When I went to Toronto, I went to a place called Casa Loma, I think it was called. And it was amazing. It was like this, it was to do with the bloke that made Niagara Falls do electric. Like, made it sort of used, harnessed the Niagara Falls.
That sounds so science. Just stop blinding me with science, Hannah.
So you
put it in layman's
in
terms, please.
And actually, it could be a sort of similar time that Casa Loma was built. So I'm thinking that maybe is he the electric Niagara Falls guy?
Okay, nice. Love it. Any advance?
Wait, so we're guessing what the family did, not the women who came out. Oh, shit.
Okay. We're going to get to everything. I just wanted you to guess how they got the money.
I'm going to guess. I like this. I like this made Niagara Falls electric. I'm going to go old style. I'm going to say whatever textiles means. You know what I mean? They own a textiles mill. Nice. I don't know what it means, but it's a thing people had back then.
It sounds legit. Okay. Taylor Glenn?
I have two thoughts, and I don't know which one to pick, and they're probably both wrong. I was thinking either railroads.
Okay.
Railroad barons. Or it feels a bit too early to be media moguls. I'm just using words now. Was the Massey family a media family? No, I'm going to stick with railroads.
Okay. Well, nobody is quite right.
God damn it!
The short answer is farm equipment.
Oh.
That was the main thing they did. Longer answer, they did loads of shit. They did, like, the sort of big Methodists. They're patrons of the arts. They've got buildings named after them. Massey Hall, Massey College. They've got they do manufacturing. So you guys did touch on that.
But yes, how did they make their money was the question, right?
Yeah. Well, basically,
you got to make your money before you get that name on the building.
Yeah. Well,
that's true.
Otherwise, I'm missing a trick. I would like to put my name on this building. Thank you.
Taylor Glenn's
only $5 million. All right, $2 million.
So the first one went to Canada in 1630. This guy, Geoffrey Massey, and he went there to be a surveyor. And then he was successful. And then they built all this. They accrued wealth and stature over the centuries.
All right.
And they're well connected. So Yasmin.
Also, Nepo babies, essentially.
Yes.
Okay.
They had some surveyors and the rest of them are Nepo babies. But then some of them are good and some of them are bad.
Okay.
And Yasmin, who sent this in, described them as being like the Carnegies of Canada.
Mm.
So they've built this performing arts theatre in Toronto in 1894 because somebody died. But then, so the son of the guy that died, so he's called Charles, but he goes by Bert. And in 1915, Bert is 34.
Why not?
Question, what is Bert's reputation like?
Oh, he is a player.
Mm.
Player, love it.
Yeah,
Bert,
he hasn't met.
Called Bert.
And he's changed his name to Bert as well. He's kind of like, I'm getting a reputation for being quite the ladies' man. I think I'll change my name to Bert. No one will suspect a thing.
Yeah, I was going to say he's a bachelor who's always about town. He's like Bruce Wayne without the Batman.
Yeah. Nice description. Hannah George, anything to add?
Well, so what his reputation? I mean, if he's got a reputation, it's normally they're not very good. Did you say there was a performing arts theatre that was that linked to it, or is that just
colour? So the performing arts theatre was built in memory of this guy's dad who died when this guy was like five.
So is he is he an actor? So he's kind of, his reputation is for being a bit of a lovey and kind of just being, you know, kind of darling.
Just a bit pretentious.
Yeah, exactly. Does he always talk about himself and what plays he's in? Yawn.
Yeah. Keeps changing the subject back to
Hello,
him.
Bert Massey, Hamlet.
Yeah. Yes, that's where you've
like
seen me.
Like a young King Charles.
So you guys, you've touched on it. So his reputation was player, but he is married.
Oh, he's a dog.
Yeah. So he gets described as a cad.
Mm.
He gets described as a womanizer. And there was one source, and I'm using quote marks here, that described him as having wandering hands.
Oh.
Ew, okay.
Yeah. And like, also, if you're that rich, and in the olden days, they're still writing that about you. How fucking bad must you be? Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And also,
it's a shame they weren't media moguls because they could have spun their own story.
Yeah.
Missed a trick.
Yeah.
Don't and just put your names on buildings.
Yeah. Instead, he's like, look at that tractor.
Yeah. So now this family, the Massey family, have a new domestic servant from England called Carrie Davies, and she is 18 years old. What happened
next? I'm already sad because she's going to die.
Hold that thought.
I think she might kill him. I'm feeling optimistic today, guys.
There's everything to play for.
That's not nice.
But it's sort of the best option, is it?
We've been doing this too long.
I know. But it's going to go one of two ways. You're absolutely right.
If we were betting on horses, it'd be like murder two ways, murder both ways.
Problem is, the thing with the most wandering hands is a ghost. What a nightmare.
The thing about the wandering hands is it's because it's very difficult to try and claim that that's traumatic because it just sounds like, you know, like. You're describing...
Like the hands are independent of the body?
Yeah.
Well, it was my hands that did it.
It sounds like someone's waving. Why are you scared? One snowy February night, Bert Massey makes what one source described as a pass
at Carrie. Obviously, it's just an innocent pass, guys. There's nothing coercive or predatory about that, given the difference in their ages, class, stature, all of that. A bit of flirty fun. So she managed to fend him off and escape that night.
That's a pass, by the way. That's a casual flirt when you have to fend someone off.
And right. Escape.
An escape. That's a strong word for he touched my thigh.
Yeah, right. And then as well, like, so one source described it as she successfully resisted him, but then the other sources are like, it obviously was full on. Mm-hmm. And she was terrified. So my question to you now is, what happened the next day?
Ooh. Wait, so what did she do in the house?
So she was a domestic servant as a maid. So she was doing domestic.
Oh, I think we have a poisoning.
Ooh, okay.
I think she poisoned Birdie because he came at her and was like, hey, and he tried to pinch her nipples and she was like, go away. And he was like, you work for me. If I can't have you tonight, I'll have you some night. And she's like, oh my God, he's going to do an R on me. So she slips some arsenic into his soup.
Oh, Matt, do you know what? I think that's maybe a good suggestion just in terms of the cases from this time. And if you're a kind of a domestic servant and you've got access to the food, I think that's
the
really
one power you have. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Controlling the liquid. Yeah. Who controls the liquid?
That's a brilliant answer. Are you guys all agreeing with Abigailia?
I want it to be that so badly that I'm not going to suggest anything else.
Yes. Hannah,
I agree.
Okay. Everybody gets half a point. It's not poison.
Okay.
Carrie shot Bert.
Oh, wow. Look at her. Oh, I bet she ordered from Hazleton's.
Oh, my God. You know what?
They're active in Canada as well as America.
Do you know, the gun, I know the catalogue that the gun was ordered from. It was the Eaton's catalogue. I don't know if that's a big thing in Canada or if it even still exists, but this gun he had ordered from the Eaton's catalogue.
Okay.
Is that what you sort of kiss out a kid that's going to Eaton with?
Yeah.
Like, we must get him his gun and his lovely little shorts for PE.
He needs to terrify servants and shoot birds.
I'm amazed that she's gone this bold. I mean, you can't really backpedal from shooting somebody unless she set it up like it was an accident. I don't know.
She's giving me Lizzie Borden vibes and I'm here for it.
Ooh, okay. Basically, he's coming home from work. It's the next night, February 8th. She's absolutely terrified. He's going to come in the house now. Mm-hmm. So she's waiting for him. She's got this gun. She's loaded it. And the second he walks in the door, she steps out of the shadows and she shoots him at point blank range.
Wow.
He dies instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Question, what does she do next?
Does she say it was her wandering hands?
Nice.
Does she do a little jig over his body?
Does she pinch his nipples and go, how do you like it, fella?
How do you like me now?
And I asked the what type of gun. Was it a shotgun? Was it a pistol? Was it
I wrote down all this stuff about the gun.
It was Eaton's catalog number 4730N.
Yeah, I have nothing helpful. I don't think it was a big gun.
Okay.
That's as scientific as I can get.
I would say she somehow staged it so it looked like a suicide.
Ooh, okay. Like
put the gun in his hands.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, if it's point blank, then that's kind of quite a good...
Yeah.
I think maybe she does a runner because I kind of... I feel as though you're not going to sort of stick around to find out what happens next if you've... You know, because she's obviously done it because she, like, fears for her life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, she... But it's interesting that she didn't just run away, like, the night that it happened. She's like, right, I'm going to... But maybe to make sure it doesn't happen to anyone else. But I think maybe, I'll vote that she ran away.
Mm. Okay. I love it. So we've got fake suicide, runaway, Taylor Glenn.
Oh, boy. I was going to say the runner thing as well, just because I wonder if she's kind of shocked herself that it went this far. Like, she kind of loaded the gun, and that was one thing. Okay, I can protect myself, but then impulsively...
Yeah.
Did this happen?
And
she's kind of shocked herself. So I can picture her doing a runner. But then where's she going to go? You know, the people that have traveled to another country, unless she's formed some alliances with... other family somewhere. She's nowhere to go.
Yeah. So. Uh-huh. In the chat, Detective Gay buries him in the yard and lives in the house. I really hope that's the answer.
That's a nice sitcom ending. That's good. Yeah. He's buried in the garden.
We can all enjoy that.
Does she? This is Canada. Does she get a bear? Kill the bear, put it next to the body and be like, I was aiming for that. I hit the guy first, but then I got the bear. At least we're safe from the bear and that, Bert.
That would be such a good crime scene.
It would be colorful.
Yeah. And I'm like, I see all the police going, oh, yeah, I can. That checks out, I think. You
know, also, it's Toronto. It's not like there's bears just wandering around the city. Sorry.
If this lovely lady goes through the admin of shooting a man and then finding a bear and shooting that and dragging. I mean, she's from 1950 and she works in a house. What does she weigh? Like 90 pounds? Like drags a full bear into. You just get to go free. Like just out of creativity.
I agree. Yeah. You get extra points for that.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
None of you are quite right. She doesn't do anything as exciting as what you guys have suggested. She just goes up to her room in the attic. Oh, wow. And when the police arrive, that's where they find her.
In shock.
She may well be in shock, actually. She doesn't resist arrest or deny what she's done, but she's very scared.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she says, I was going to ask you this. What does she say to the police?
The bear has nothing to do with me. I don't know how I got there.
The bear was here when I got here, yeah.
Is it a kind of he had it coming
thing? Nice. Yes. Love it.
Yeah, I think maybe she tries to defend her actions. Mm-hmm. He was going to, it's going to be in an eloquent 1915 is what, 1915, is it 1915?
Yeah, it is 1915, yeah.
So she's going to be like, he would have brought me corporal harm. I was only defending myself.
Love it.
Yeah, I think she's going to pull, a Roxy Hart and be like, oh yes, we both reach for the gun. Oh yes, we both reach for the gun. Yeah, and she breaks out into the whole song, even though it hadn't been written yet, before Candor and Ebb's time. She was like, yeah.
You know what? I am so sad that you're not correct. I'm giving it to Taylor. The words she says to police are, he tried to ruin me.
Tried to ruin me. Oh, she's only 18.
And this now becomes the crux of her defense as well. So basically, this murder is super shocking. This 18-year-old maid has killed a super rich man. It knocks the war off the front pages. So many headlines. This is yet another case that's calling itself the trial of the century. It's like, guys, you can't all be the best coffee in the world. Like,
yeah. We've done about six of those in the last seven episodes.
You're not
episodes.
All the trial of the century.
But stop calling that when you're 15 years into the century. Like, other people are going to have a turn later.
It's insane. But they
still got to wait for the O.J. Simpson trial in the 90s.
Yeah, that's the same century. It's so crazy.
80 years later, guys, you'll never believe what happens.
Actually, what an amazing century, too. Like, how can you call the trial of that century? It's batshit, the transformation, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it is nevertheless a sensational, salacious story.
I bet.
I was trying to work out what it'd be like today, and all I could come up with was, is this like if Mary Poppins shot Trump? Or is this like if Orphan Annie shot Epstein? Like, I don't know what. We don't really have an equivalent, but it would be that shocking, I guess.
Yeah.
And also, as Taylor touched on...
What I love about that is that the women in that are fictional.
Oh, my God. And the men are real.
Yeah.
Predators everywhere. No superhero women.
Yeah. History Shit. Doesn't remember the female help. Like, there's no yes. documentation.
Right. That should be a dissertation all on its own, or possibly a documentary that we can all pitch in a minute. But no, so she's an immigrant. She's young. She's vulnerable. She's alone. She's got no family. She's low class. Yeah. And he's the biggest name in Canada. So there's this huge imbalance. So the book that Yasmin recommended is called The Massey Murder, and it's written by Charlotte Gray. And I watched videos of Charlotte Gray being interviewed about it.
Because you didn't read the book.
Because I didn't. I just did the Cliff's Notes. Yasmin's going to be so disappointed. I'm so sorry, Yasmin. You trusted me. But it is really interesting. And she outlines some of the issues facing Carrie Davis. So basically, this 18-year-old is in an impossible situation. She's powerless. And also in this period, if you were a young woman who was flung out of a house and you didn't get a reference, nobody would employ you because there was so many other domestic servants that there was an endless supply. You would basically, they would just end up on the street, which is so different to how we live today. And so Carrie was very afraid of what would happen when he came home. So the Massey family starts slagging her off in interviews. And
I would imagine one of the first questions they ask as well is, have you ever killed your employer?
Yeah. Pass. But so like the family start doing interviews where they say she's going mad. The trial actually starts like a few days after the shooting. Now, high stakes. If Carrie is found guilty, she'll be hung for murder.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Jesus.
But, yeah. She gets this really good lawyer, Herbert Dewar, and he's smart. My question is, what does he build her defense on?
I guess his name's Herbert. I'm writing these down. Do it.
Okay. Oh, we have another note taker. I love it.
Love a note taker.
Oh, God. It's hysteria.
Hysteria. Nice. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Then it's just like, that's just how British people say hello.
Yeah. Wow. You guys got any other suggestions?
Taylor, do you have one? I think it's hysteria. That's what they blame all women's thoughts on.
Yeah.
Hysteria.
It's a good umbrella.
I think you're probably right that it's gonna be some sort of diminished capacity. So why not hysteria? But I was thinking maybe he builds on what she said, which is he tried to ruin me. And so the whole defense is if as a young unmarried virgin, he had taken advantage of her, obviously that would have been her fault. But then she couldn't have married anybody. And what would her worth be?
Yeah.
If she can't be a wife. And I wonder if it was sort of that.
Oh. Excellent answer. Hannah George, you have anything?
I just wondered whether it was like just more self-defense. It was like she had to because he was going to attack her.
Yes. Okay, you know what? I'm giving it to Taylor because that is correct.
You know but what? Also, heads up to Ray in the chat also said her virginity.
Yeah.
Ray in the chat said it as well, so good for you.
Oh,
well,
okay, Ray in
well,
the chat.
You know your history of women's choices. So, yes, but the self-defense thing does
come
back.
So sad to be right. We all are right. We're all sad to be right on this one.
Yeah, it's a Pyrrhic victory. And in fact, yeah, so he paints her as this victim. She was helpless and she was scared and she knew that she was going to be taken advantage of. In court, he produced evidence proving her virginity.
Oh, wow.
Let's just get the ick out now.
I don't want to guess this part.
No, I mean, I don't have details of how. I know this happened to Joan of Arc, but I don't. I presume they have some kind of fucking method. Although whatever the hell it is, it will be flawed because hymens are a myth and they can break at any time and it's not a sign of anything.
Yeah, if Carrie ever rode a horse, she's fucked.
Right? And like, even if she hasn't, like, it's like most people, like, only some people have them. Not, it's like completely normal to not have them as well.
Mm. I wonder if they'd hire like a midwife to do that. And I wonder if there are cases where they would just stand up for the woman and give whatever they need.
Interesting.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In way to grease the invasive wheels of justice.
Well, it sounds better than like she got fingered on the stand. So I mean,
like literally, it will be something awful.
Also, it's outrageous. It's just so outrageous that her defense can be like, but what about my value to men? Like,
yeah, I know.
It's just terrible. What,
I couldn't live as a ruined woman. I must go to jail as a virgin. And everyone's like, I respect you now. I respect
yes!
you.
Yeah.
Because you're like, still a virgin. Not.
Yeah. And like, yeah. And my future owner will need that.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. It's disgusting on so many levels. But that is what he's doing. He's painting her as this very young, pure 18-year-old. And sympathy was also generated with this talk of a sweetheart fighting overseas. And the Chief Justice, William Mullock guy, he's sympathetic to her plight. And the lawyer, as disgusting as some of the stuff this, you know, to our ears is, he does do this closing speech with a zinger of a last line. So he says, if she did not defend herself against this man, she would have been a fallen woman, an outcast, one more sacrifice. Let that sink into your mind. And then, and this is the zinger, it was not manslaughter, it was brute slaughter.
Oh! If yeah. the glove don't fit, you must acquit. This was the trial of the century. They had a Cochrane in there.
Right? It's pretty good TV. And like, it like, also, I just feel like we should all have one free pass on a brute slaughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, a brute slaughter. Sounds like a cologne.
Yeah.
X body spray presents brute slaughter.
So after that speech, apparently the judge had tears in his eyes, but this is a jury trial. So question, what is the jury verdict?
And back then the jury would be all men, right?
Yes.
All wealthy white men who own land who are fingering
their
maids. And don't
want to be killed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably relate quite heavily to
But that. Don't let that color your vision. Blue sky this.
Yeah. Hashtag not all brutes. That's what the jury's saying. No, I really think we got a Cochrane on our hands. I really yeah. think she got off. I think they let her off.
Okay. I love it. You guys agree, disagree?
Yeah, I'd like to think she got off because I feel like, yeah, it's like, what was it? We did an episode the other day. It was something about justifiable murder or something like that. And I feel yeah. like in this case, maybe... Yeah. But that was generally more so men could kill women. But in this
yeah.
case...
It doesn't normally go the other way, does it?
Yeah, so I hope that... I think it would be more sensational a trial if she did get off.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
You know, in the way that, obviously with OJ as well, the fact that he got off was quite a big part of that being a
yeah.
crazy trial.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Spoilers, guys. Sorry, OJ did get off.
If anyone hasn't caught up with that...
Did they just sentence her to hard labor? And she's like, that's already my job.
Oh, God, that's brutally funny.
It's funny because it's true. No, it is not true for the answer. So the correct answer is not guilty. They find her not guilty. It's OJ.
Wow.
Unanimously, after only 30 minutes of deliberating.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a triumph for Hartley Jewett, this lawyer.
So if you're going to kill while you're a virgin. I
yeah.
get it.
Like, genuinely, that's the fucking, the moral of the story is, if you want to kill people, have a fucking Jonas ring, purity ring, like Jonas Brothers, like, be a virgin and then yeah. they can't touch you, like, because all
that's
the other women
are trash.
That's
a very specific virginity reference,
I know, I just, like, it was, I don't know why that came back to me the other day when I was writing up this case. But because, you know, when it was all like, oh, we've all got purity rings. And it's like,
oh,
well,
it was such a moment in time.
You're
going
to get
yeah.
away with murder. So, yay. That, okay. otherwise, what is the point of keeping your virginity unless it's to get away with murder?
Yeah.
It's not, there's no other point to it. Obviously, they don't want women to be murderers, but at least she's a virgin. That's some gender norms in there. Because virgins deserve justice. No other women do. As I said, this is a like media circus, trial of the century case. So there's huge crowds waiting outside for this verdict. So question, how did the public...
You're going to say, waiting outside for this virgin.
They're going to put her on a fire. How did the public react? to the verdict.
Yeah, interesting. Are they on her side? I think maybe because 12 men have decided that she's okay, maybe it's they are on her side and they see her as a bit of a hero. Do they, though? Because if you're a woman and you're, I don't know, if you're married and you're really celebrating this woman that murdered this guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like one of those things that who would be seen to be going like, oh, that was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know what? Your answer is really interesting because there is social change and upheaval all around this. So there will be nuance, but...
Well, and where's his wife during this? Are they still together?
Oh, good question.
Is she the weeping widow, or is she sort of like, thank goodness?
Yeah, she is a weeping widow, and there is, like, the Massey family are trying to claim that he's not... wandering hands guy, and that it's not fair to say that, but they are losing the PR battle.
I think because they're losing the PR battle, and people have been reading about this so voraciously, and everyone knew he was a cad in the papers before this all happened.
Yeah.
So I think no one really liked Massey, especially if we're talking about the normies, like not the rich people of the town, but like the working class people. He killed one of theirs. He killed one of their own.
Yeah.
And she was a virgin. I think, cheers. Like, have you seen 42nd Street when they say that Santa Claus goes free? And the whole, like, I think I'm picturing that. Like, Miracle on 34th Street style. Okay. Like,
Yeah.
I'm picturing, like, huge cheers. Everyone's happy.
Yes. Yeah.
Throw up in the window of the courthouse.
Yeah.
And they're like, Drury's back, Carrie's free. And everyone's like, yay.
And it's this heartwarming high point of the film.
Yeah.
I love that answer. I can't remember whose answer. So Hannah said, you kind of talked about how you weren't sure. Taylor, you haven't answered.
I just imagine it might have been quite split. I mean, it's sort of what Abigailiah said, split according to class. So I picture these people waiting outside of the verdict are not the other wealthy people of the town, because they would not be seen as like a brain mob around a trial, right? They're all waiting politely to get their telegram
about
what happened.
They've got Canadian manners.
Yeah.
So I think whoever was outside, the normies, as you called them, I think they're thrilled, and it's cause to fight for better justice.
Yeah.
But I can picture that the people of their sort of social class were, but what about, how do we assault our help now?
Yeah. It's disturbing if we can't do that. Yeah.
Right.
Abigail X, like, basically, loving the film reference. That is what happened. Everyone reacts very positively. Obviously, there, like you guys have touched on, there is, you know, not 100% everyone is happy, but most people are super happy. There was celebration. One source said all hell broke loose, but everybody was cheering.
Wow.
There were crowds outside in the street. Everyone's happy. And it was like one source has described it as like a football game that had just been won. It's literally
women's football is just shooting men. Brilliant.
But it's like, it's really interesting too, because it's almost like there was an appetite for Me Too. Like it's proper out there.
That's great. That's good to hear. I mean, this has gone entirely the way I didn't think it would, that she's found not guilty and that...
I really do feel like in all of my listening of crime podcasts, it's very important not to blame the victim, but we're all coming out being like, good for her! Fuck him!
Yeah.
And I can't help but think that. I'm really on Carrie's side.
I know. But I think... It's sort of, you almost can't help but be like, it's really interesting because like, if this had been written another way and told another way, we'd be like, oh, but what did she do? Oh, is she lying? Oh, she was probably tricksy. But just the way that these facts have been laid out, it's impossible to hate on her, really.
And it's so interesting that in the time that this was all written out, like really the thing that Herbert hung his whole defense on was that she was a virgin. Like if she was a sex worker, this would not have worked. If she was a divorced woman, you know, anything like that, it would have not worked in her favor. The whole thing is that she
100%. Yeah, this is not as progressive as we might like to hearing it. We're like, oh yay, they liked women. No, they liked one version.
And also she was a victim as well. It's kind of like in this, like she was a victim.
Yeah,
she was
at the beginning.
But basically, Carrie thanked the jury and she disappeared. Now, we can end it there. Somebody dug her up, so I do actually know what happened to her.
Jesus fucking Christ. I did not see this turn. By the way, I'm sorry. Russell has a very good question about her defense. Was she good looking?
Yeah, well, but she's a hot 18-year-old, so yeah.
Yeah, all 18-year-olds are attractive. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah,
there are pictures, and she's beautiful. She's a pretty woman. Yeah. So yeah, I should have been including the moniker hot. What kind of historian am I? I'm sorry. Let the record show she was beautiful.
And you can't be like, Kate, you can't be like, guys, we could just wrap this up now, but someone dug up her body and then not tell us.
Oh, so they didn't dig up her body. They tracked her down where she went.
Ow.
So, but I will whiz through it really quick because I think
that's
officially...
what I thought too. I'm sorry.
Let her rest. But it's like, the only reason I would be inclined to include this at all is like, you know, when we did the case of Crippen and the kind of the girlfriend just like disappears and gets to be anonymous and we don't know what happened. She might have had kids, anything. Mm. I kind of feel like I sort of like that we get to know what happened to this one, even though she wasn't a criminal. But it's like we never got you don't get closure on so many cases, but there is some more information about this woman, even though she officially disappeared. 70 years later, this historian that was into true crime and was really in loved her case called Frank Jones, he tracks it. So 70 years later, he tracks her down. She's dead by then, but that doesn't let him stop. That doesn't stop him from traumatizing her remaining family. So basically, he goes and finds her daughter. They're living in rural Ontario, and he goes and tracks down her daughter and tells her, by the way, your mum did all this shit when she was 18.
Oh, wow. So she didn't. So this would be in the 80s.
This all happened in 1915, and then Frank Jones tracks down 70 years later. She died actually in 1979, aged.
Jesus! She had a life, didn't she?
Yeah. She got married. She had children. She'd never told her family what happened. And there's an interview with her two granddaughters on YouTube, if anyone wants to see it. But and they're basically this other, not this guy, but another historian is trying to stir it all up. So he's interviewed this guy, some other guy interviews somebody in the Massey family that's still alive, like some second cousin twice removed of Bert that was shot. And it's like, yeah, how do you feel about this? And then she's like, well, I don't think that Bert should have been shot. And then he's like in the same YouTube video, he's interviewing the granddaughters of Carrie. And they're like, oh, well, gosh, that happened to my grandma. Well, I'm glad she defended herself. Like, and it's like, he's trying to stir it all up again. But basically, she has a simple life, lives in rural Ontario. She was a really nice person. And her and her husband became the custodians. She was always trying to help. She was big in the church and she was always trying to especially help young girls. And her and her husband became the custodians of a home for girls. So she was obviously affected by it and trying to do good in the world.
Yeah.
And then, she dies age 64 in 1979.
And thought perhaps, well, the secret dies with me. It didn't have to be what defined me until shows up and makes a YouTube channel.
I know. And then she changed her documents. So she just basically erased 2 years of her life so that no one would ever know that this happened.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then this guy just ruined that for her. But her family still were seemed really happy, so it's fine in the end. But he made them all cry before that they got to the cathartic bit.
Well, thank God you'd want to know that a relative had gone through all of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was her choice to keep it a secret, but God, wouldn't you want to know?
Yeah. It's interesting.
Huge. Yeah.
And then so Yasmin had said in the email when she wanted me to do this case that in the book it goes into a lot more detail about how things like World War One, women's rights, immigration and the newspaper industry, religion, and that Canada, it was shortly after the Confederation, and that all affected how the trial played out.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a book, as we said, if you are interested in that. But I guess let's raise our glasses to Carrie Davis and Yasmin for suggesting the case.
To Carrie
Davis
and
Yasmin.
And can you shout out the name of the book one more time?
Yes. The book is called The Massey Murder.
The Massey Murder.
And it's by Charlotte Gray.
While you're pulling the email up, I just want to point out that Marcy Vermeer, sorry if I said your name wrong, in the chat says, I just realized my great aunt was a Massey. and her husband had Canadian roots. Surprised Whoa. Emoji face.
Oh my God, she might be related. There was a bit have time to go into where this living relative had asked her mum about this case, and her mum had basically responded with, "We don't talk about Bruno." Like, it was like, "Yeah, I'm not telling you anything about that.
We don't talk about Brute Slayer."
We don't talk about Brute Slaughter.
Drunk
women solving crime.
We're going to do a listener crime, and then we're going to hear all about what Abigail is up to. But the listener crime, Leanne says, during my first year of teaching, a student stole my very first smartphone on the day. Wait, hang on. I'm going to move this up because I've put it down low so that I can see your guys' faces, but I don't need to see your faces.
Yeah. Right. You really don't. They look the same as they did before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. During my first year of teaching, a student stole my very first smartphone on the day the first bill for it came due. That student was never disciplined for the theft and was later involved in several more serious crimes, including a murder. Ooh. I've always wondered why she was never punished in spite of there being footage of her leaving my classroom with my phone, and what worse fate I potentially avoided given what she went on to do.
Someone just wrote, that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah, yikes.
Wait, are we supposed to solve this? Because I feel like she knows who did it.
Yeah, there is a culprit. But I guess we've got to, her question is, why was nothing done? We've got to solve that.
Because she was a virgin.
So she gets special dibs in justice.
Yeah.
Oh man, there's nothing worse though than having something nicked that you're still paying off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I haven't got the thing anymore, but and I have to pay for the thing.
Yeah.
Very true. But murder.
Yeah, that sucks.
Just throwing murder in there.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Leanne, what the hell?
And actually, Leanne, are you in the chat? Can you give us more information? What the hell?
Oh yeah, there she is.
Oh, there she is.
The murder was involved was a stabbing. Live streamed on Facebook.
Whoa, this is
fucking
even...
hell.
I have more questions. This isn't.
Where is
anything.
This Netflix documentary?
Yeah, no offense about not caring about your phone
as
much.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Sorry for your loss.
Holy shit, there's a snuff film.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
Yeah. She never heard.
I think the police were terrified of her, and that's why you never got justice.
Yeah, I mean, my thought is like, is it like talk about Netflix documentaries, like the Murdoch murders, where she was so well placed in whatever town you lived in, Leanne, that her parents made it go away.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh yes, yeah. I watched that documentary. Yeah, that's crazy. Mm.
And if you don't discipline your kids, they'll just keep doing worse crimes. And I think this proves it.
Yeah.
She was 16 at the time, involved in a gang. I assume this is the stealing.
Yeah. Oh, man. What a sad story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like your life turned out better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, man.
That's wild.
That is wild. Yeah, and I mean, also, is she still at large? Did they get her for the murder?
Also, like...
someone said that's not Leanne. Someone's saying she's the head teacher's kid.
Yeah. Just guessing from my various thefts here in the UK, the police have, I hate to say it, better things to do. So they're like, oh, a kid stole another kid's phone.
Yeah.
Who, this is not what I want to spend my time on.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. They're like, call me when she's mastered the tech to live stream a murder. And then
the police probably just didn't want to freaking bother with it, you know? Someone just kind of buried it and it got forgotten and, you know.
Yeah, that's
she's just said on the chat though that they got her for the murder.
Yeah.
So.
Oh man. Okay. So she's no longer at large.
She actually stole the principal's phone too, which was odd. Wow. I like it that you kind of just. Yeah, she's getting more and more serious.
So. You know, it is crazy. Like, if they'd got her at her cry for help with the phone, maybe things wouldn't have gone that way.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't. I'm clutching at straws. I can't make fun of this, and I don't know how to lighten the mood.
I mean, it's a hell of a story. My uni stories are all like, and then she fell over because she's so drunk. Like, I don't have any. And then she murdered somebody.
Yeah.
Any of those. I feel like I should go back and really have a better experience.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a bit like murderers. I don't know. At any point, probably, there's so many murders that at one point you've probably met a murderer but not realised. So that's something. That's something to lighten the mood, isn't it?
There we go.
True.
We
can all enjoy 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but with
there,
murder.
Well, there we go, fact fans. There They're like go. Rats. They're everywhere. You're never more than 2 meters from a murderer.
Leanne, thanks for that harrowing
tale. Yeah, thank you. That was an amazing story. Now, we have just enough
time. And on that note.
On that light-hearted little ditty, we will move on to the final section where we ask Abigail Ayashiman, what are you up to? Where can we find you? Tell us about your podcast, Neurodivergent Moments, and anything else that you want to plug.
Yeah, I am. So I have all of the social medias. Yes. TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. So you can follow me on all those. It's just my first name, Abigailia. So you'll have to look it up in the podcast feed in order to be able to spell that. But just at Abigailia on all social medias. I'm going to start releasing my comedy specials on YouTube over the summer.
Cool.
So I would love a little follow there. I'm resolute that I won't start doing it until I get 1,000 followers because I've like ignored YouTube for years. And now it seems like it's time to care. So follow me on YouTube. Also, I have a podcast that I do with Joe Wells called Neurodivergent Moments. I have ADHD. Joe Wells is autistic. And we talk to other neurodivergent creatives about how our brains work different. So
nice.
On all podcast streaming platforms. And we just dropped a Patreon today of a video of us talking about our reaction to the Panorama documentary on ADHD clinics exposed.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, man.
Which, if we want to stay here for another hour, I have thoughts.
Yeah, I bet.
It was the minute that I saw the cover picture for that, where the guy's wearing a teeny weeny beanie, and I was just like, you can't trust somebody in a teeny weeny beanie.
Also, there's like all these memes too. Like, he's like, I keep going to these clinics and they keep diagnosing me with ADHD, and there's all these memes in the ADHD world of how ADHD people like wear a lot of random colors and dress kind of weird, and he's in that stupid beanie with a rainbow check shirt, and I'm like, mate, you got it. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
So Neurodivergent Moments,
yeah,
we check out that. And what are your shows that you're going to be releasing on YouTube? What are they called?
I will be releasing, I'm filming my new one this summer, but we haven't set a date yet. That'll be called Legally Cheeky. And then I'm also releasing Namaste Bitches, which is all about...
excellent title.
Yeah, I used to be a Bikram yoga instructor, it touches on that. And my search for enlightenment through fitness. Didn't find it, guys. spoiler alert. And then my comedy special, Do You Know Who I Think I Am?
Amazing.
Yeah. Awesome.
Solid titles, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So all three over the summer, or you're filming them?
So I'm filming one. I've had two behind a paywall for a while. And now I'm just kind of like, I'm going to release them. But I'll release them, guys, no pressure, when I get 1,000 YouTube followers.
Okay. So everybody get over to YouTube and make this happen.
Yeah, it'd be nice because I'm releasing videos on YouTube right now, and talk about a platform. I'm big on TikTok, and I get TikTok comments, and it's like, oh, someone enjoyed what I did. And I check my YouTube comics, and I'm like, oh, someone hates a woman. It's like really fucking grim. I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
Oh, man.
Make YouTube a friendlier place for Abigail. Yeah. Come on.
What a fun difference between those platforms. Yeah. Jesus. Oh, man. Well, it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining us. You've been absolutely fantastic. Abigail,
amazing. Thank you. I have to just shout out, this is by far the most fun I've ever had on a podcast. So literally, like, I'll come every time someone cancels. Like, I will cancel. Like, I will be a reoccurring character for you. I'm pitching it now here on the podcast.
Yes,
like, you get a dropout at 7:15, I cancel my plans. I am here. I like this is a fun game. This is such a fun game.
Good. Oh, I'm so glad you like. You've been such a fun guest. Thank you so much. Oh,
thank you. Thank you for having me.
And thank you to all the patrons for coming along.
Thanks, everybody. We solved it.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.